Today's shiur, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis, and we will begin on Daf Yud Aleph on the Beis, three lines from the bottom. Bohem Miboile. In our previous shiur, we spoke about the Zov who's wearing a pouch. And the question is, how is he allowed to wear the pouch on Shabbos? He needs it to check how many discharges he had, etc. The Gemara gave us different answers, how it isn't necessary for this specific individual to wear that pouch. But ask the Gemara, doesn't he need the pouch to make sure that his clothing don't become dirty? And therefore, since he needs it for that purpose, he should be usher to wear it outside. Amar Zera answers the Gemara, Haitanu da Amar, call at sinu tinif, anything that's worn just as a protection not to get dirty, like a choshev, is not considered carrying. So in order to explain the next piece of Gemara, the Torah HaKadosh says, V'chiyitein mayim al zera, v'nofel menevlosim olav, tumei hu lachem. A halacha that we encounter very often throughout Shas. And that is the halacha that if somebody is food, in order to be susceptible to tumah, has to become wet. If it didn't become wet, it wouldn't be susceptible to tumah. But as we know, that when we look in the Torah, there are no nekudas, there are no vowels under the letters of the Torah. So how do we know how to pronounce the word? Do we pronounce it kiyitein, which means that you deliberately made them wet? And only if you made the food deliberately wet is it mekabel tumah. If you did not make it deliberately wet, it won't be mekabel tumah. Or the way the word should be read is kiyutan. As long as it got wet, makes no difference if you wanted it to be wet or not, it becomes susceptible to tumah. And the way the Gemara in Masechta Bava Metzia reconciles this, it has to be yutan dumala yitain. It doesn't mean that you have to deliberately make it wet, but you have to have a situation where you want it to get wet. So the Mishnah in Masechta Machshirin discusses different situations of water falling on different kalim, and is that considered that you wanted it to get wet? And therefore, if that water, you wanted that water, and therefore if that water would fall on food, the food would be tamei, or is it not considered that you wanted it? The Tanan. Hakoifa kar ala koisel. If somebody turns over a plate on top of a wall while it's raining, and then the rainwater dripped from the plate onto food, the halacha is, im b'shil shatuda hakara, if he put the plate on the wall because he wanted the plate to become rinsed by the falling water, hareza b'chiyutan. That's considered that he wanted that water. And since it's considered that he wanted that water, if it hits any food, that food will be considered mukhshal kabbal tumah, susceptible to kabbalah's tumah. However, if b'shvil, if he put the plate in the wall on the wall, shlo yilka koisel, but he didn't want that plate should necessarily get wet. Ein b'chiyutan. It's not considered that was water that he wanted, even though he put the plate on the wall, and that ultimately caused rainwater to fall on the produce. Since he didn't want that water, so it can't make food susceptible to tumah. Obviously, what is the opinion of that Tana the Mishnah? That an act which is done only to protect something from damage is not significant. So that's how we're going to explain the Braisa that says a Zov is not liable for going out with his pouch. Since the Zov used the pouch only to protect his clothing, it's not considered a significant act for that should be considered carrying on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, mi dami, how can we compare the two situations? Hasam, in the case of the food becoming wet. In the case that we just learned, he wasn't interested in this water at all. And since he wasn't interested in this water at all, it can't be machshir food like a balos tama. Hacha, however, in the case of the pouch, kabayla lahaykis, he's interested in this pouch, the kabula beziva, to hold the ziva in it. And since he wants to hold the ziva in it, it should be considered not like water that he wants. Says the Gemara, halay damya, the proper comparison between the case of tuma, ella l'seifa, to the case that's mentioned in the second part of that Mishnah. It says there, a revish yor del flatoichai, you have a bowl into which a leak drops. So if somebody put the bowl there so that the leaking water should drip into it, mayin hanitziv hanitzofen, water that splashes out of that bowl doesn't have the kind of category of kiyitain, because he's not interested in the water splashing out. V'shebetoichai, but the water that's inside the bowl, hareze b'kiyutan, he wants that water. So we see that if the water was put, if a bowl was put on the floor to catch leaking, dripping water, even though it was done to protect what's under that bowl from damage, that wall is considered water that I want. Here too, since he wore a pouch to protect his clothing, it should be considered that he wants the water. Ella, and he wants the pouch. And it should be considered that he's carrying for a good purpose. Ella, Abai Ravatarai, Loikasha, Harabihuda, the Bryce that says that a Zov may not wear a pouch follows Rabbi Huda, that holds that a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa Yechayif. For Harab Shimon, that holds a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa Potter. And as we've discussed many times and will continue discussing, we have the Machlokes of Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon regarding the question of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. And here, it's considered a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Why is it considered a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa? So there's a number of ways of explaining. Because Ray Rashi explains, he would have preferred that this would have never happened. He doesn't want the Ziva. He doesn't want to have to protect himself from the Ziva. And that's why it's a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Taisa says that it's a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa because he's not, what is the Malacha here? Carrying. When is there a malach of carrying, says Taisus? When I want to take an object from point A to point B. Here, I'm not interested in getting the object taken from point A to point B. I just want to get the ziva off of me. And since all I'm trying to accomplish is to get the ziva off of me, it remains a malach shen etzruch l'gufa. But what is very important to discuss is wearing. What is the halacha about wearing something that the entire purpose of you wearing this is only to be a protection? Is there an isser to wear something like that or not? Where does the question come up? Many, many paiskim discuss the question of people who wear a hat and it's raining, are they allowed to wear a hat cover to protect the hat? The opinion of the Chelkis Yaakov, the opinion of the Klausenberg Rebbe, was to be lenient. The opinion of Rav Moshe discusses it in more than one place, in Ohr Chaim Chelik Aleph Siman Kuf Ches, and then in Chelik Beis Siman Kuf Yud, was to be machmer, and the opinion of the Satmar Rebbe as well was to be machmer. What is the question based on? It's based on what we learn in Shulchan Aruch Ohr Chaim Siman Shin Aleph Sif Yud Gimel and Sif Yud Dalet. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's something which is to protect your body, that is permitted to be worn on Shabbos. If you're wearing something to protect your clothing, that may not be worn on Shabbos. So Ramesh's opinion was that this hat cover is there to protect your hat, and therefore you may not wear it. The others held it also was there to protect your body, and therefore you may wear it. The Shas of Tshuva Smichas Yitzchak, Chelek Gimel Simch Chavov, also takes the approach that if the entire purpose of wearing it is to protect your hat, you may not wear it. However, if you're also wearing it to protect your body, and that's why they created hat covers that not just covered the hat, but they also went down and they covered part of the side of the face and your back of your head, then you're protecting your body. And the same as women who wear plastic head covers that don't only cover their hair, they cover part of their body, that is permitted. The Tzitz Eliezer has another reason to be lenient. The Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Yud Simchav Gimel says, since this became so common that people wear it, that becomes a malbush. And anything that's in the category of a malbush, we learn there in Siman Shin Aleph, may be worn on Shabbos. The same question comes up, Rachmanot Tzlan, if there's an individual who's wearing a catheter, may he go out on Shabbos? Sir Shlomo Zalman Orbach, the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo, Siman Shin Aleph Sif Cotton Tess, says that you may, because the purpose of wearing that catheter, he says not only the catheter, but even the bag attached to it, is to protect the person who's wearing it. And since it's to protect the person who's wearing it, he may go out with it on Shabbos as well. Says the Gemara Tanna Brei Shmo, Yoytzi Odom B'Tfilin B'Erev Shabbos M'Chashecha. A person may wear tefillin right before Shabbos. Why is a mutter? Shouldn't we be concerned, like we're learning in the Mishnah, that you're going to wear, you're going to come to carry them on Shabbos? Answers the Gemara, my Tama. Kivin Domer Rabbi Rav Huna. Chayv Odom L'Mashmish B'Tfilin Kol Shav V'Shav. A person has to constantly make sure that is tefillin, with his tefillin all the time. And why does a person have to be careful to check his tefillin all the time? And the Torah says what that means is, it doesn't mean you have to constantly be thinking about your tefillin, but what it means is you're not allowed to have any, you have to act in a very respectful manner when you're wearing your tefillin. And how do we know that? Says the Gemara, because we learn a kal v'chayim from the tzitz. Or mat tzitz that the Kohen Gadol wore, shem be'el skar achas, only had one shame in it. Omer Torah, for Hoya Mitzchay Tomit, the Torah says it should be constantly on the Kohen's forehead, pshat being, he should never take his attention away from it. Tefillin sheyesh ben askaros harbe, so certainly the tefillin that have many askaros, many times Hashem Hashem, alach kam v'kam, you have to have great, you have to constantly remember it. And since you're going to have to constantly remember it, Hilkach mitka dochelhu, you will remember and you will not forget to take off your tefillin as Shabbos arrives. The halacha is, you taka have to check your tefillin. Number one reason, as we're learning now, because you have to constantly remember that you're wearing tefillin. And the other reason why you have to constantly check your tefillin, because they have to be in the right place. And that's what the minig is, that every time we say k'shatim lois ayidecha, we check the tefillin shel yad, and then when we say v'hayot ha'tofes b'neinecha, we check the tefillin shel rosh. And the halacha is that we should first check the tefillin shel yad if they are in the right place, and then we should check the tefillin shel rosh if they're in the right place, for two reasons. Firstly, because as the pasuk says here, the tefillin if the pasuk first mentions the tefillin shel yad and then mentions the tefillin shel rosh, that's one reason. And the other reason is because if they're in the wrong place and you have to put them into the right place, so just like when we put on the tefillin in the morning, we first put on the tefillin shel yad and then we put on the tefillin shel rosh, so too, when we're going to adjust them, we should adjust them in the proper order of tefillin shel yad and then tefillin shel rosh. So here we're saying that the tefillin shel yad, the tefillin are more important, have to be checked more than the tzitz. So the Yireim asks that the Gemara Masechta Soita Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph says that when the Kohanim would do Nesias Kapayim in the Beis HaMikdash, they would raise their hands above their head, besides the Kohen Gadol, who cannot raise his head above the tzitz. Now the Kohanim wore the tefillin, and they wore tefillin, and it still didn't stop them from raising their hands above the tefillin. The Kohen Gadol, only because he wore the tzitz, couldn't raise his hands. But here we're learning that tefillin are more important than tzitz. So he answers, when the Gemara says that tefillin are more important than tzitz, it's not an absolute rule. There are differences. Indeed, on one hand, the tefillin has many askaris, as our Gemara just said. But on the other hand, the tefillin, the Shem Hashem, is not visible. The tzitz, on the other hand, only has the Shem Hashem once, but the Shem Hashem in the tefillin is visible. The Yairus Tavash explains that the Gemara Masechet Megillah, Daf Tez Vav, Amid Bey says, we say in the Megillah, Yehudim, it says in the Megillah, Yehudim ha'is oir v'simcha v'sosu v'yikar. V'yikar, says the Gemara, a tefillin. What does that mean? The yikar means from Lashon Mikra. A person who wears tefillin is announcing that everything that happens to us in life, every mikra, every situation that happens to us in life, is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I saw from Rabbi Yosher ben Soloveitchik Zatzal that he explained, as we discussed previously, the Ramah says that we make two brachas on tefillin. We make the bracha l'aniach tefillin, and we make the bracha al mitzvah tefillin. Why do we make a separate bracha al mitzvah tefillin? So he says that tefillin is a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah that we have to put on tefillin. But tefillin is an announcement. Tefillin is an announcement that a person is announcing that he believes in Hashem. And that's why he says that the Gemara speaks about a kakafta, the loymanach tefillin, a Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, daf yud zayin amen aleph. By a Jew wearing tefillin, he says, he's announcing that I believe in Hashem. And since he's making that very important and critical announcement, that's why the halach is that chayv odam lamashmish with tefillin kol shah. I saw a very powerful word from the Tver Shloima. It says that a Rav once came to see him before Pesach and asked him to be mispalel that he should have that slacha, that this year there should be no problems in his community on Pesach. So he said, the way you could do that is by learning Hilchas Pesach. If a Jew learns Hilchas, if the Rav will learn Hilchas Pesach, he'll prevent his community to not have any shilas on Hilchas Pesach that year. So too with the tefillin. If a Jew begins his day wearing tefillin, and he, as we just said, announces that he believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he believes in Yerushimayim, he believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time, then he doesn't have to worry that he'll have any averis, or that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not constantly watch on him. Tanya Chananya Omer, Chayv Odom L'mashmish B'Godoy Erev Shabbos M'Chosheicha. A person has to check his garments on Erev Shabbos just before Shabbos begins. Omer Rabbi Yosef, to which Rabbi Yosef commented, Hilchas Arapsi L'Shabsa. This is a critical halacha for Hilchas Shabbos. It's a critical halacha that a person should remember, constantly watch what he's wearing on Shabbos, that he shouldn't chas v'shalom come to carry on Shabbos. And this halacha, that a person has to watch what he's wearing, so says the Sfas Emes, that we also learned that the tailor, we just learned on Daf Yud Aleph, that the tailor is not allowed to go outside with his needle, samach l'chashecha, right before Shabbos, because we're worried that he's going to carry it on Shabbos. So says the Sfas Emes, somebody who's in his house and is not about to go out, is not required to check his baskets until Shabbos begins. Somebody who's working, like the tailor, has to stop working a half an hour before Shabbos. The Magen Avraham says that this halacha only applies in the time of the Mishnah where they had a Rishus Rabbim the Raisa. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees, and he says that even when there's only Karmelis, we should be Machmer. Also, the Levush Mordechai says that carrying right before Shabbos is only items that you don't have a need for on Shabbos. But let's say somebody's carrying a talis or a sefer to shul on before Shabbos, that is mutter. Says the Mishnah Berurah that this halacha doesn't only apply at the beginning of Shabbos, but applies during the entire day of Shabbos. If somebody puts things in his pocket on Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah says, he's obligated to check his pockets each time before he leaves his house on Shabbos. The Sefer HaTruma, however, seems to say that this halacha only applies before Shabbos, because on Shabbos, says the Sefer HaTruma, and this is the way the Rashba learns, and this is the way the Prima Godim and the Shulchan Aruch Rav Paskin, the halacha is that on Shabbos, you're not supposed to put anything into your pockets. In fact, I saw there were those that were machmer, that not only on Shabbos did they put anything onto the pockets, but let's say during the week, they wore their Shabbos clothing. They didn't put anything in their pockets, in their clothing that were designated for Shabbos. So I saw a beautiful word from the Michsa Loza in his Sefer Divrei Torah. He says, there was once an individual who got a message that the king was coming to visit him. But the king let him know that he doesn't need to prepare anything. Everything that the king needs to eat or whatever, the king will bring along himself. So this person who was going to host the king indeed did not cook or bake anything because the king is bringing everything. But one thing he could do, he could clean his house, he could repair his home, that it should be a home to which the king could come. So too, says the Michsa Loza, we, Baruch Hashem, Shabbos is the Makar HaBracha. Shabbos brings bracha to our home. And since Shabbos brings bracha to our home, we don't have to bring anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings everything. The only thing we have to do is prepare ourselves. How do we prepare ourselves? By being mishamish by Begodov. We check our clothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to carry on Shabbos, so we should check our clothing that there's nothing in our clothing. But I saw that many Chassidish Sfarim explain Chayv Odom L'mashvish Begodov Erev Shabbos Im Cheshecha, that it means that Begodov is from the word Begida, rebel. A person should be careful before Erev Shabbos begins that there should be no Begida. He should do tshuva on all of his averis before Shabbos. And says the Gemara, Hilchasa Rapsi L'Shabsa. That's a critical rule that a person should know. It's a critical rule that a person should know that as Shabbos approaches, what he should do is completely prepare himself for Shabbos Kodesh by doing tshuva. Continues the Gemara. Lo Yafla, a person should not check his garments by the light of a lamp to see if there's any lice on his clothing. Iboilhu. So now ask the Gemara, how do we understand what the Mishnah says? Layaflas kel biyoim. Is there a separate iser that a person shouldn't check his clothing even by day because you may come to kill the lice that you may find in your clothing? Shemiyarig. Rabbi Elazar he, and therefore our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the Tanya Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ha'hoir kinah b'Shabbos. If you kill a louse on Shabbos, it's kilo ha'hoir gomel, it's no different as if you killed a camel. You're not allowed to kill any living thing on Shabbos. V'le'yikra lo'ar in there, and then there's another halacha that you shouldn't read by candlelight because of the concern shemayata, because you may manipulate the lamp. A dilma, or maybe the way to learn the Mishnah, that both halachas that our Mishnah teaches us are because the concern of Shemayata, you shouldn't do it by lamp because you may tilt the lamp. Toshma. So the Brisa says, Ein poilin, you shouldn't check, Vein karim l'oraner, and shouldn't read by candlelight. So it seems that both of them are also because of the light of the lamp. Says the Gemara, Mi'alima Masnisin, are the wording of the Braisa really any different than the wording of the Mishnah? And just like we didn't know exactly what the halacha is based on the wording of the Mishnah, we can't be sure what is the halacha based on the wording of the Braisa. Toshma, so there's a Braisa that says, Ein poilin v'or haner, we shouldn't check lice by the light of the lamp. Ven koyron l'or haner. Elim and halacha sh'omr v'aliyaz chananya b'chizki ben goyron. These are halachas that were mentioned in the attic of Chizki ben Goyron. We'll speak about that in tomorrow's shir. Shema mino t'vayar shemayata. The reason for both halachas mentioned in the Mishnah is out of concern that you may tilt the lamp. Shema mino, it's very clear that that is the way to understand the halacha mentioned in our Mishnah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, afilu l'havka me bigdoy l'bigdoy yishtoy. When we say that you're not allowed to do something by the lamp, even to check the difference between his clothing and their wife's clothing. Since the type of clothing that was worn in those days, men and women were very similar, so you're going to take a lamp to check which is your clothing and which is your wife's clothing, and you're going to end up being tilting the lamp. So I saw that the Rishonim asked, doesn't it say v'lo yilbash gever simlas isha? So how could the clothing of the man and the clothing of the woman be similar? Says the Yavetz, from here we see that in a place where men and women wore similar type of clothing, and that's the style of clothing that men and women wear, that isn't considered lo yilbash. Another pshat that he says is that when young boys and girls could wear the same type of clothing, another pshat that I saw is they may not be identical, but very similar. Amar Rava, lo yamaron, elda b'nei mechuza. In mechuza, the garments of the men and women were similar, and therefore we have this concern. Avol d'bnei chaklisa, meidi yidia. In the people who lived in the rural areas, the men wore wider clothing, and the women. On the contrary, men wore narrower clothing because they worked out in the field, so they couldn't have these wide clothing. Women wore wider clothing, and it was very easily discernible, the difference. It says the Gemara further, older women, the garments of younger women are different between the garments between the younger women than the men. Younger women wore even wider garments than men. And again, we were able to tell the difference. Tanarabonim, ain't poilim b'shus rabim. When we check for lice, it shouldn't be done in the shus rabim. Neya covered. It's not a nice thing to do, and since it's not a nice thing to do, it shouldn't be done publicly. Kiyotz ba'amar Rabbi Yehuda v'amar le Rabbi Nechemya, ain't oisem apiktuzin. They sometimes, if they had a stomach ailment, they would take something to induce vomiting, and that shouldn't be done in the shus rabim. Neya covered. So the Gemara goes back for a moment to discuss the halacha of checking for lice. What are you allowed to do or not allowed to do with lice on Shabbos? Tanar Rabbanan, Hamafla es Kalef, somebody takes out lice from his garments on Shabbos, Moilu v'zoirik, takes the lice and rolls it between his fingers, disables it, and then throws it away. Uvach lo yaharig, he shouldn't kill it. Because as we learned earlier, you're not supposed to kill, according to Rabbi Lezer, a louse on Shabbos, just like you're not allowed to kill any living thing. Avisholimer, noitel zorik. You should throw it away. Uvat shloy yimloil. You shouldn't even roll it between your fingers because that is very easy that you come to kill it that way. Omer Rav Huna, halacha da halacha is moil of a zorik. You can roll it and throw it away. Vzek kvoida afila b'chol. You're allowed to kill it, he holds, but do it in a more respectful manner, as we just discussed. Says the Gemara, Rava Makdala, Rava would kill it, Rav Sheshes Makdala, Rav Sheshes would kill it, Rava Shadar Lelkot Adamayim, Rava would throw it into a bucket of water, again, not to kill it directly. Amalur Rav Nachman Labansay, Rav Nachman said to his daughters, Ketulin, I want you to please kill the lice, the Shemin Lekaldus Nasay, and I want to hear how my enemies die. So actually, this is the basis of this is a machloikus, as we're learning, is killing a louse a melacha on Shabbos or not. What is the machloikus based on? They believed that clearly killing a living thing is also on Shabbos, just because it's a melacha. It was done in the Mishkan when they killed animals for the hides, for the covering of the Mishkan. The only question is, maybe only animals that are part of a rova, that multiply. They believe that lice did not multiply. Rather, naturally, the lice were formed from the sweat. And as the Mefarshim explained, we know that every living thing multiplies naturally, but because the egg of the lice, the nits, when they begin, are so small, they're not considered as if something multiplies naturally. Anything that you can't actually see is not relevant in the eyes of halacha. And that's why we had a machlokes if there is an issur of killing lice on Shabbos or not. Tanya, Rav Shimon and Lozo Omer, Ein Hargan as Macholis b'Shabbos, we're not allowed to kill a lice on Shabbos, Divrei Beis Shimei, or Beis Hillel Matirim. V'chein Rav Shimon and Lozo Omer, Shimon and Shimon Gamliel, Ein Meshatchan as a Tinoikus Loris. We're not allowed to arrange for Shiduchim on Shabbos. It's interesting, where does the word Shidduch come from? The Pasuk says in Shoiftim, the Ran says, V'tishkoi ta'oretz. And the Targum says, V'shiducha oretz. So when a couple, Baruch Hashem, find each other, when a husband and wife find each other, and there's Baruch Hashem, Shalom Bayis, so we have Shidduch, we have Sheket. V'lo yisatikin, v'lo yisatinik, l'lamdei sefer, l'lamdei umis. We're not allowed to arrange for someone to teach your son Torah or teach your son a craft. There's a halacha, the father has to teach his children a panosa. Ve'im menachmen aveilim. We're not allowed to do nichem aveilim. Ve'im vakim choylim. B'Shabbos, we're not allowed to be mevakim choylim b'Shabbos. Divrei Beis Shammai. Or Beis Hillel says, it's mutter. Says the halacha, even according to Beis Shammai, is you're not allowed to hire the Rebbe. But certainly, you are allowed to teach somebody Torah on Shabbos. The question is, how did Beis Hillel allow Nicham Avelim or Bikkur Cholim on Shabbos? Doesn't Pasuk say the cross or Shabbos Oinig? And visiting a sick person or being Menachem's Ovel somebody is the opposite. So, the Aruch HaShulchan explains because there's a mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim, and therefore for the mitzvah of Gemilas Chasadim, you're allowed to visit sick people. But what is that? So he continues to ask, you're not allowed to do something that's wrong just to help somebody else. So he says that if you bring oinik to somebody else, that makes you happy. So it turns out the Bikkur Cholim is something that actually makes you happy. Another reason why you should not be in Bikkur Cholim is because you may come to be mispalel, which we're about to learn, that you maybe should avoid doing that. But as we're seeing, that because of the person's needs, you're allowed to do so. I also saw from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein in the Sefer Chashukei Chemet, that the Gemara says in Masechta Nedarim that if somebody visits somebody else in Mevaka Cholim, he takes away a 60th of his disease. So the Gemara says it has to be somebody who's Ben Giloy, that two pshatim in Rashi. One pshat Rashi says it's somebody who is a good friend. Another pshat is somebody who was born in the same time. So the Ben Yehuda says it doesn't mean that the person who visits gets part of the disease. He says, when a Shemayim, there's a special schus for the mitzvah, Bikkur Cholim, that you take away a 60th of his disease. But then, he says, a very interesting pshat. We know that the way vaccines work is that a vaccine is that the person takes a small dose of the disease that he's being vaccinated for, and that takes care that he shouldn't have that disease. So he says that's pshat in Ashishim. The person who visits the other person takes the small amount of the disease, and by taking the small amount of the disease, he'll just get better, and everybody will just get better. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Hanichnas Levakas Achoyla. If somebody goes to visit a Achoyla on Shabbos, Omer Shabbos Hi Melizoik Refuah Kroiva Loi. Ramei Omer Yochel Hishat Terachim. The Shabbos itself brings the Refuah. What you're supposed to say has a makim yirachim alecha v'achayli Yisrael. Rabbi Yosi Omer, hamakim rachim alecha v'tochayli Yisrael. Whenever you visit some, whenever you mispalel for a chayla, the halacha is you shouldn't only be mispalel for that chayla, but you should mispalel for everybody who needs a refuah. Of course, the question is that the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, that Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda hold that everybody is judged in Rosh Hashanah and has the chesim on Yom Kippur. So how could you daven? What's the point of davening during the year if it's already been signed, sealed, and delivered? So one Teretz Tosfos suggests it's on the Shabbos Tshuva before Yom Kippur. Another pshat is that maybe there's a decision on Yom Kippur that he should be sick, but it isn't decided when he should get better or how he should get better. Or, as we just said, even if for this individual there was a decree, but if you're davening for the whole tzibur, that will help this individual as well. Shivna issue shlaim b'knisasa oimer. Shivna would say, shalom. V'tziyasa oimer shabbos hi melizak refu krav ve'lovoi v'rachma b'rubim v'shifte b'shalom. These are the ways you should daven. Kaman Ozla Hodam Rav Chanina, says the Gemara, according to who does this halacha that Rav Chanina teaches us, that Mishesh Lechol B'Teich Beisoi, that if you're davening for a family member who's unfortunately sick, Tzorach She'Avena B'Teich Chol Yisroel, should speak about him together with all the other sick people. Kaman, like Rav Yossi, Vam Rav Chanina, B'Koshi Yitiru L'Nachm Avel L'Vaka Chol B'Shabbos, because Shabbos is not the time for Tzar. So I saw that the Imri Emes explained that we know that Shabbos is like a kala, Shabbos kala. And just like a kala, when she's a kala, gives brachas, so too Shabbos brings bracha to everybody. I saw another pshat that refuah kroiva lovoi on Shabbos means that during the week, when do we daven for refuah in the bracha refeinu, which is the second bracha? On Shabbos, we daven for refuah when we say in the second bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, roifei chaylim. So that's why on Shabbos, it's kroiva lovoi. From here, we see the importance of the mitzvah bika chaylim. Because even though, as our Gemara is saying, they really should not have allowed this to be done in Shabbos, but because Bikur Cholim is such an important mitzvah, they allowed to do it. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained, we might have quoted this Gemara earlier in our Masechta, that Shabbos came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, every day of the week has a pair. Sunday has Monday, Tuesday has Wednesday, so on. Shabbos ain lo zug. Who's the zug of Shabbos? The zug of Shabbos is Klal Yisrael, Hashem says. So just like we see that if Chas v'Shalom, a husband is sick, who's the one that's most concerned about him? The wife. If a wife is sick, who's the most concerned? The husband. So we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's peer. And Shabbos is worried about us and brings all the refuahs. That's pshat in the pasuk, says Darugas Abaisim, Rak shiftoi yitain v'rapoi yirapoi. If you give the shiftoi, if you give proper shmir Shabbos, v'rapoi yirapoi, we will have a refuah. Amar Rabbi Rav Chana, ki hava azlina basoi der b'loza l'shula b'tchicha. when we go with Rabbi Elazar to visit a sick person, Zimna Amma Hamakdam Yifaktech L'Shalom, sometimes he would say it in Hebrew. Zimna Amalei Rechmana Yetkin L'Shalom, he would say it in Aramaic. Ask the Gemara, Hechi Avad Hachi, how did he do this? Vomer of Yehuda Loyal Ma'ayisha Adam Tzrochov B'Loshna Rami. A person shouldn't daven in Arami. Remember Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Hashal Tzrocha B'Loshna Rami, Ein Malacha Hasharas Neskakon Loi. You're not supposed to daven in Aramish. Shem Malacha Hasharas Maskirin B'Loshna Rami. Answers the Gemara Shani Chayla. When we're dealing with a sick person, it's different. The Shechina Imai. The Shechina is there. Damer of Anan Amarav. Menayin Shechina Shsoyres Achayla. How do we know that Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol is there together with the person who's sick? Shenemar Hashem Yisodenu Al Eres Tavoy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting there with the person. Tayin HaMehochi, HaNechnas Levakas HaChayla, LaYesha Lo Yagab HaMitav Lo Yagab HaKisei. You shouldn't sit on the bed, nor on a chair that's higher than the bed. El Mas'atav HaYesha Lefonav. He should put him dressed respectfully and sit in front of the sick person. Because the Shechina is there. Shenemar Hashem Yisodan Al Eres Tavoy. Vama Rava Amaravin. Menayin Shakadosh Baruch Hu Zonas Achayla. How do we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu himself takes care of sick people? Shenemar Hashem Yisodano Al Eres Tavoy. That's why I saw that the Sefer Divrei Shmuel explains that the pasuk says by Avram in Parshas Vayera, Vayera El of Hashem. Normally, when the pasuk speaks about Hashem showing himself, it says Vayera Hashem El Avram. Why does it say over here Vayera El of Hashem? Because Avram was there already anyway. But because Avram Avinu Hashem was there, but now Kadosh Baruch Hu especially appeared himself to talk about this. Here we learned that the Malachim don't understand Aramish. Of course, the Rosh already says, so how do people sometimes daven in other languages? So he says, if you're davening the same nusach that is everybody's davening, you're just saying it in a different language, that is not what the Gemara meant. And the Ravid says, what the Gemara means is that they do understand Aramish, they just don't understand it as well as they understand Lashon Kodesh. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah says, a person should always try to daven in Lashon Kodesh, particularly since he says we know that the Nusach of Tefillah was composed by the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, who had tremendous kavanas in every word of the Tefillah, therefore we should say the Tefillah in Lashon Kodesh. So he asks, so how can we start the Seder with Holach Ma'anya, which is an Aramish? So it says, Rabbi Yisachar Doiv from Belz, because we're trying to announce at the beginning of the Seder, that we know and we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina itself, comes to the Seder. Because we believe that, that's why we're saying it in Aramish. We don't care if the Malachim don't understand. We have HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself at the Seder. So we learned that the Mishnah of La Yikra La Araner, a person shouldn't read by Araner because we're concerned he may tilt the lamp. Amar Rava, Afil Gavai Shtei Kaimis, even if the lamp is the height very high up, Chazal made halacha loy plug, and there's no difference. Charu de loy rikri. It seems only one person shouldn't read by a lamp. Hatrei shapadami. Vatanya loy echad v'loy shnayim. Amar b'loza loy kash kambinyan echad. If they're studying one subject for one sefer, says the Ritva. So if one will touch the lamp, the other one will remind him. Kambishnei nyanim. Amar avhuna ubimedora. When we're in a bonfire, a feel sar b'nei adam asur, because they don't, since it's very bright, they don't sit next to each other and one notice if the other one is touching the lamp. Amar avim adam chashavu, who never tilts a lamp, it's mutter. Meisvei asked the Gemara. It says in the Brisa, la yikra la raner shemayata. Amar bishma ben Elisha, ani ekra v'layata. He said about himself, I'll read and I'm not worried that I'll tilt the lamp. Pamachas kara bikish lahatis, and one time he caught himself. Chazal knew that they said Shayim lo yikulois on there. Amnas amak karvihitai. He actually did tilt the lamp. The kasa pinkasai. Ani yishma ben Elisha karisi v'tisin there b'Shabbos. I was reading and tilted the lamp on Shabbos, and the mitzvah shem the chshiv the base of mikdash avichat shmeina all brikar mechatas. Arab Abba Shani Rishma ben Elisha hoil meisim atzmai adivri tarik hedjet. He was a great person, but when it came to learning, he would not care whatever he needed to do, and he would tilt the lamp himself. So Tosfos asked the question. We know the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is careful not to bring a takala through tzaddikim. And here we see that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha did tilt the lamp. So there are two terutzim given. Tosfos says that the only time that halacha applies is by mechalos asuras. That a person should eat something not kosher that HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents a person from doing. But if it's not mechalos asuras, that halacha doesn't apply. Another pshat, the same concept, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects that tzaddikim should not cause other people to eat machalos asuris. But here, it wasn't about Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha eating machalos asuris. Another pshat is when it's only if the person didn't do something deliberately. But if somebody did it deliberately, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't protect him. And here, he should have known better than to touch the candle. For as I saw, the Gra explains. The Gra explains that every mitzvah, there's the reason that we see for the mitzvah. And then every mitzvah and every takanas chazal has many other reasons that we may not understand. And therefore, he should have not touched it, even if he thought that he won't touch it, because chazal said, under those circumstances, just do what chazal say. Don't try to be smarter. Another question is, we know that kol oisib b'tayrus chatas is kilu hikrav chatas. So he should have learned the dinim of karma chatas. The answer the Farshim give is that when you bring a karma chatas, the kohen eats from that karma chatas. When you don't bring the karma, but if you just learn, you don't have a kohen eating from that carbon. And the schus of a kohen eating from the carbon is very great. And that you don't get when you just learn the halachas. Along the same line, I saw the Mefarshim explain that when a person brings a karma chatos, it wasn't just the karma chatos when he did the smicha and the vidui and the entire public and the entire maisa hamitzvah had tremendous chusim, which that you don't get just from learning the parashas chatos. Another question I saw the Mefarshim ask, there wasn't Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha a kohen, and a kohen doesn't bring a carbon chattis, a kohen gadol. So one answer is that it's only when the Beis HaMikdash is standing. Another answer is it's only a kohen gadol that was appointed with the Shemen HaMishka, and he wasn't appointed with the Shemen HaMishka. And therefore, he didn't have that rule that a kohen gadol doesn't bring a carbon chattis. Tani chadash shamish by the kaisis ka'iris laraner. We learned the one braisa that the attendant could check the cups and plates by the lamp to see if they're clean. But Tanyidah, but we learned in another braisa, the Layivdik, he shouldn't. Answers the Gemara, Lakasha. Tam b'shamish kavua, if he's permanently there, so he wants to make sure he's doing a good job, so we shouldn't let him do it. Tan b'shamish ene kavua, temporary, so he doesn't really care that much, so he's not going to tilt the lamp. An oil lamp doesn't give a foul odor, so he may tilt it. A gas lamp gives off a bad odor, so he won't touch it. He's not a permanent worker, but the mishka, but it's an oil lamp. What is the halacha? Amarav, halacha, the halacha is that he may use it, we don't publicize it. Not only is that the halacha, but we could publicize it. Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba ikla bei Rav Asi, kam shamei kabodik lanhur de sharga. He got up and inspected the silverware by the light of an oil lamp. Amalei devisa maloi avar hachi. Does Rav Asi not allow temporary service to do this? Amalei shafka, leave him alone. Karabis rilei. He holds like his Rebbe, Rabbi Yirmiyah, that holds that a temporary worker could check even by an oil lamp, and we could even publicize such a halacha.